particular text, which is verses 22 to 24 of Ephesians 4. And this is talking about the truth that is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing on this time. Dear Lord God and our Heavenly Fathers, we open up your word this evening as we hear it explained. May you indeed enlighten our minds. May your word become more and more real for us, that we may have a greater understanding of it and a greater understanding of its application to our lives, particularly with the message we have tonight as a very practical one, as those who have been called to be your children. Will you guide each of our thoughts, and we pray that you will guide my words, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The message this evening is one that was originally penned by the Reverend John Haviland, and it's part of a series that we've been doing as we've been going through the truths of the Scriptures as encapsulated in the Heidelberg Catechism. And we're up to Lord's Day 33, which is what, of course, we recited earlier in the service. So, and as I said, our text is at Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of us have heard the word conversion. The word describes a change from one state to another, and it can be applied to a number of different fields. If for those who play rugby league or rugby union or who follow it, a conversion is when a player completes a try by kicking a ball over the rail between the posts. When applied to electricity, it refers to changing alternating current to direct current, AC to DC. For mechanics, it refers to altering a car engine to improve its performance. For builders, it can refer to major alterations made to a house. However, for Christians, it means turning from unbelief to God, from sin to obedience. It refers to a great change that takes place in the heart, mind and life of a person. And this is our subject tonight. People are converted to Christ in different ways and by different means. There is no set pattern, and we should not expect a person to conform to one mould or another. Some people have sudden and dramatic conversions, and you can think of Saul on the road to Damascus in that regard. But for most people, their conversion to faith in Jesus is slow and gradual. However it happens, conversion marks the beginning of your life as a Christian. This is where it starts. The word conversion not only describes the beginning of the Christian life, but also our ongoing progress as Christians. Lord's Day 33 of the Heidelberg Catechism says that genuine conversion is ongoing and continuous and progressive. The Apostle Paul looked back to the point of conversion in the lives of the believers in Ephesus. In verse 20, he wrote about how they had come to know Christ. And verse 21, he wrote, "Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus." This is how they began as Christians, but they needed to keep going. He tells us that every Christian must be busy doing three things, and these three things are the main outline for our message tonight. Firstly, you must put off your old self. Secondly, your mind must be renewed. Thirdly, you must put on your new self. So there's three musts: put off your old self, your mind must be renewed, and you must put on your new self. So let's turn to our first main point: put off your old self. The old self describes a person under the control of sin. It is the whole personality as ruled by sin, the unregenerate self, the old sinful nature. The old self is associated with your former way of life, which Paul actually described in verses 17 to 19, and Tim read for us a little while ago. Before they came to faith, those Gentile unbelievers were futile in their thinking, darkened in their understanding, separated from God, ignorant of God's truth, and hard of heart. They were under the control of sin and slaves of Satan. The old self came from Adam. From him we inherit our sinful nature. We are born sinners. Sin is like a hereditary disease passed on from father to son, mother to daughter, from one generation to the next. The old self is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, as we read. There is nothing wrong with a desire. You may desire to do well at school, to pass your exams, to be a great cook, to find a job, to be of service to others. All of these may be good desires. But there are other desires that arise out of our sinful nature. They are deceitful in that they promise much, but deliver little, or worse. They seem to offer gold, but you only end up with ashes. They deceive us, they fool us, they trick us. That is the nature of temptation. It looks good on the outside, but after we have done it, the deed it turns out to be all wrong, and we are disappointed and dissatisfied. Think of David after his adultery with Bathsheba, or his son Amnon after he raped his half-sister Tamar, as we read in 2 Samuel 13. Sinful desires are always deceitful. These deceitful desires corrupt the old self of the unbeliever. In verse 22b, the old self is being corrupted, a present tense verb. This corruption is going on all the time. If you do not yet believe in the Lord Jesus and have not yet been converted, then your old self is decaying, it is rotting, it is getting worse and worse, and you are digging yourself deeper and deeper into sin. If this describes you, then you must wake up and repent and turn to God and be converted. But the Christian has put off this old self. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, then this has already happened. God has done a work of grace in your heart. The word lay aside or put off is in the aorist, which refers to a past event. You could translate it, you have laid aside your old self. That happened when you were converted, when you repented of sin and believed in Jesus. At that point you trusted in what Jesus did on the cross and were united with him in his death. When he died, your old sinful nature died there with him. It was put to death because you were crucified with Christ. This is what we regularly remember in the Lord's Supper, that Jesus died in our place for our sins, so that we can be rid of our old sinful self. So, this has already happened in principle. But this also needs to work out in practice in our lives. The word translated as put off describes taking off clothing. The writer of Hebrews used the same word when he urged his readers, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, in Hebrews 12 verse 1. They need to keep doing that, and so do we. Compare this to a man who has been in prison for many years. During his time in imprisonment, he has come to regret his crimes and he wants to live a new life. One day, he is finally released. He takes off his prison clothes, puts on new clothing, and he goes out into his new life. He is now free. But, in spite of his new situation, he still carries with him the thinking and habits of his prison life. In principle, he is free. But, in practice, he will have to keep putting off the prison life so as to live his new life. And that is not easy. It is the same for the Christian. In principle, we have put off the old sinful self. But in practice, we have to keep putting off those things, keep getting rid of them, and that is not easy for us either. At this point in his letter, Paul is still dealing with general principles. In the following verses, he's far more specific. He states, put off falsehood, verse 25. Don't steal, verse 28. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, in verse 31. All of us struggle with specific sins. Through our union with Christ, we need to keep putting these off every day in our speech, work, study, marriage, and family life. The Catechism says that the dying away of the old self means to be genuinely sorry for sin, to hate it more and more, and to run away from it, as we recited in question 89. Are you sorry for your sin? Often we are sorry that we got caught or that we got found out. Or we are sorry for ourselves that because we have been punished. We are sorry about the consequences of our actions. That is not genuine sorrow. It is just a selfish remorse. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And a couple of verses there talking about sorrow. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I'll read verses 8 to 10, but the focus on verse 9. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. He says, "For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." So, are you genuinely sorry for sin? Do you hate it more and more? And are you running away from it, day by day? That brings us to our second main point. We've just looked at put off your old self. The second main point is your mind must be renewed. Verse 23 of our text reads, "To be made new in the attitude of your minds." This phrase highlights the importance of our minds. The immoral living of unbelievers arises from the futility of their thinking, as we've read across in 17 to 19. They are ignorant of God and darkened in their understanding, and that leads to an immoral life. Sinful thinking will lead to sinful behaviour. By contrast, the moral living of a believer arises out of having been made new in the attitude of our minds. The Greek word translated made new or renewed here is the only use of this word in the New Testament. The verb is passive, which means that it is something done to us by the Holy Spirit. He has given us a new mind, a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at things. But this is something that you and I need to work at as well. Paul urged the Christians in Rome to be transformed by the renewing of their minds in Romans 12 verse 2. God is active in us, but you and I must also be busy with this. The verb is also in the present tense, which means that this too is ongoing and continuous. We must be busy at it all the time, every day, every week, every year. The ongoing conversion of our lives is directed by our minds. Renewed thinking will produce renewed lives. Holiness of life begins with our thoughts, our reasoning. Often we are using our minds to search for ways to please ourselves, to fulfil our own selfish desires. We can think long and hard so we can justify our sins and excuse our wrongs. Instead, we need to think long and hard about how we can get rid of sin and live a holy life. As we read in Colossians 3 verse 2, where Paul says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, as we're reminded in Philippians 4 verse 8. Our lives will run on the tracks laid out by our minds. So discipline your mind. Read the Bible regularly so your mind is filled with the Word of God. Come to worship faithfully to learn what you do not know and be reminded of the things you have forgotten. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. That brings us to our third point. So we've looked at putting off the old self, we've looked at how our minds must be renewed, and now we turn to put on the new self. The new self is not the old self's touched up a bit, smartened up, painted to look good on the outside, just improved a little. Rather, the new self is a person completely renewed from the inside out by the Holy Spirit. If you have been converted, you have been born again. You have a new heart, a new mind, a new will, new emotions. Instead of being under the rule of Satan, you are under the rule of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we read, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." This has already happened. When Paul wrote in verse 24, "Put on the new self," he again used the aorist verb. He described a past event. You have put on the new self. Through faith we are united with Jesus in his death, so that we have died to sin, and we are united with him in his resurrection, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. If we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him, as we're reminded in Romans 6, verse 8. As a Christian, you are no longer controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God living in you, as Romans 8, 9 reminds us. This has happened in principle. But this also needs to keep on going. You must be what you are. You are a Christian, and so you must live like Christ. You have been converted, and so you must show that in your life. Again, Paul is giving us a general principle here, but later on he spells out the details when he states, "Speak the truth," verse 25, "build each other up," in verse 29, and "be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other," in verse 32. Paul uses the same word in Ephesians 6:14 when he urges us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and again in Colossians 3:12 where he tells us to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. And again in Romans 13:14 where he exhorts us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Catechism says the putting on the new self is a wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to. That was question and answer 90. Does that describe you? Are you putting on the new self? Do you delight to do good? Are you obeying God's commands? Do you show the fruit of the Spirit in your character? Paul concludes this section by telling us what the new self will look like. It is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, it is the aorist verb. This has already happened. This is how God has recreated us. And it is a passive verb. This is God's work and action. Through the saving work of the Lord Jesus, God has recreated us to be like Jesus in true righteousness and holiness. There is an expression, "clothing makes the man." That is true to a certain extent. Think of Joseph being taken out of prison and given a wash and a shave and dressed up in good clothes that he could meet Pharaoh. He had to be presentable. This is what God has done for us by changing us into the white righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can meet God as accounted holy in Christ. If you are a Christian, you have been converted. This took place when you first believed in Jesus, but it is also an ongoing process of putting off the old self, of being renewed in your mind, and putting on the new self. This is genuine conversion. This must happen to you so that you become more and more like the Lord Jesus. If it has, is this still going on in your life? Beloved, what a joy it is to look into the mirror of God's law and see that you are now a work in progress. Amen. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord God and our Heavenly Father, We thank you that you are the God who has worked so mightily in the lives of your people, that you are the God who has converted hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, that the old self has been put off, that we've been given a new mind, a new heart to serve and love you. And yet we recognize that there is this battle that's ongoing with the old self, that we still live in many ways as if we had the old self, the heart that has not been regenerated. So we pray, may we live as your children. May you be pleased to work in us through your Spirit, that our minds may continually be renewed, that we may think your thoughts after you, that we may run along the tracks that you have set up for us to run along, doing your will and not our own. Please forgive us for those times and things we've done that bring discredit to your name, that do not honour you as our Lord and our God. And may we be encouraged to go on in the strength of your Holy Spirit, to live lives that are pleasing to you in every respect. And we pray that in the way that we live our lives before you and before others, that others may come to see you through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.